So last week, I gave you just a brief history of David, just his strong experience of being a lead pastor, being transitional pastor. And, you know, generally we're a church that's pretty relaxed, fairly easygoing. And as a board, we've just appreciated David's fairly easygoing nature that he's relaxed as well. We just also appreciated the ideas that he's already brought with him from the experience, you know, he's had specifically as a transitional pastor. And so just wanted to welcome you this morning, Dave. And just David. You do prefer David, I believe, right?
Well, but I'm laid back. You know, I'm not going to get upset.
Welcome to me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's good to be with you this morning and to start a journey. You know, we're all on a journey, and some of our journeys are longer than others, more pronounced. I've been on a journey my whole life from east to west. I was born in a rather remote fishing village in Newfoundland and raised in Ottawa and did my seminary education in the Midwest. It was the U.S., but it was a little bit west of Winnipeg. And then moved back to Western Ontario for a period of time, and then 21 years ago moved out here. So it's been a westward journey. My kids married people out here. I have two daughters, and they married two guys out here, and each have given us two grandchildren, so we have four grandchildren. They're happy with this, and they're happy out here, so I guess we're staying. You know, that's the journey is perhaps complete as we go along. But we're also mindful this morning that we are starting a journey together. And as we start this journey today, I hope it'll be a journey that's fun. I hope it's a journey that however far we get, when we're done and we look back, we'll say, you know what, we've come a long way together. And I hope it'll be profitable. I hope it'll do good. And I expect that, you know, in this journey, I expect that we are going to chat and talk and get to know each other, and in that process we're going to we're gonna have a coffee together, and or a tea or a hot chocolate or a water. It's an Alliance church, so I'm not going to go much beyond there. I don't want to get in trouble my first day here, so. But, you know, maybe we'll share a coffee. So this morning I thought I'd make some coffee. Now, we're still experiencing coronavirus, so I want you to know that the packages I made up were made up with gloves, and I just cleaned my hands and so on. So it's as careful as I can be. But the idea is that we just want to, in this journey, get to know each other and share. And I want to begin by saying, you know, what's our passion? What's our passion? Maybe you don't know this, but coffee is a passion. Did you know that? I mean, coffee is really a passion. Not for me. I'm really not a big coffee drinker. I have one in the morning, and that's about it. But coffee is You know, coffee is a passion for people. Do you know, worldwide, we drink more coffee than we do any other drink other than water worldwide. Worldwide, they drink 400 billion cups of coffee a year. And that's a lot of coffee. And that's a lot of coffee. We're passionate about coffee. In Canada, we drink more coffee than we do tap water.
I make my coffee with tap water. Does that count?
Ah. And looking for a coffee here? Need a coffee?
Thank you.
And you know, the same is true. Our in the United States, they import coffee more than any other commodity other than oil. To the tune of 5 million tons of coffee a year. 5 million tons of coffee a year. And in the U.S., it's a $19 billion a year industry. Anyone looking for coffee? It's a $19 billion a year industry. In Canada, it's a $6.7 billion industry a year, which is less than half the U.S., but remember, we're 10% of their population. Right? In Canada, we have more single cup systems per household than the U.S. We 38% of Canadian households have a single cup system. This is not a single cup. I mean, we're talking Nespresso or you know, the thing where you just get one cup. And 38% of Canadian homes have one. In the U.S., it's only 29% that have one. Someone need a coffee? I've got some coffee. Now, that's not because we drink more coffee than the U.S., although we very well may. It's because we drink more coffee at home than they do in the U.S. They go out and they buy more coffee than we do. It's not that we don't buy our coffee. You know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard of Tim Hortons. You know, we buy coffee. Do you know that Tim Hortons accounts for 76%, that's over three quarters, 76% of all bakery and coffee sales in Canada. Just Tim's. Coffee? Saw a hand here. You need a coffee? And I'm probably going to stop giving the coffee now. I hope you're not too disappointed if you didn't get one, but I'm having a hard time concentrating on two things at the same time. I'm not a multitasker here. But Tim Hortons accounts for almost just shy of 25% of all income from all fast food places in Canada. 25% of all fast food sales are Tim Hortons. Yeah, coffee is a passion, right? And so what are you passionate about? What are you really passionate about? Are you passionate about Jesus? So as we start this morning, I want to say this, that you get to choose whether you're in a casual or a passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? You get to choose. It's your choice whether you're in a passionate or a casual relationship with Jesus Christ. We choose our level of engagement with Jesus. Some people choose not to engage with him at all. Some people say, yeah, he's just a leader of another religion, and religions don't really do anything for me. I'm not, you know, it's just not my thing. And so they check out. Other people take that first step and they embrace Jesus and they receive salvation, and then it's like, okay, so my fire insurance is paid up. I can do what I want now. You know, I can live the way I want to live. And it never really goes beyond that commitment. Other people try and engage with Jesus, but for some reason, while they take a stab at fervent faith, they never arrive at a place where it really grabs them, where intimacy with Jesus is something that changes who they are and changes their life. And then there are some who not only connect with Jesus the Savior, but Jesus the Lord. And they get to know him and embrace him and enfold him. And they find how rich and life really becomes in their knowledge of him. And where we are on that scale of disinterest to passion, it is really our choice. It's what we get to do and to choose. So what makes the difference? How do we get to the point where we are passionate about our life in him? So this morning, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, where we have a very familiar story about two very unfamiliar characters. But I think it speaks to this issue of how passionate we can be with Jesus. Luke chapter 24 and verse 13. Says, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and they talked and discussed these things with each other, and Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him, and he asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, and their faces were downcast. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But some of our women went to the tomb early this morning, but They didn't find his body. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, how foolish you are. Slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things in order to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went and stayed with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, began to serve it to them, and then their eyes were opened. They recognized him. And as soon as they did, he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" So this morning, I want you to put yourself into this story. Choose one of those two individuals on the road. That's you. And I'm the other. And we're going to walk. We're going to walk together. Maybe as we walk, we'll, who knows, maybe we'll have a coffee. And we'll talk. But the thing that we cannot do is fail to recognize that Jesus walks with us. That's the important thing. Because what this story tells us is that we can walk with Jesus and not even know it. You can walk with Jesus and not even know. Really? This is an amazing story. Two men trudging along in almost mournful silence. Totally depressed and discouraged. And they're joined by another individual who engages them in conversation. And that individual was Jesus. And they didn't even know it. It says, as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not suggesting that we don't recognize Jesus, that we don't know Jesus. These two individuals knew Jesus. They are called disciples of Jesus. They knew him. But they didn't know that he was with them on the road. And we too can be with Jesus and fail to know it. Fail to have our eyes open to understand it. Maybe we're just too concerned about our own world and the things that are going on. I mean, coronavirus continues to be here and to impede and influence and change everything we do. Or maybe it's the world situation that we find ourselves in. Tomorrow is election day. Maybe we are concerned that if the prime minister of our choice doesn't get in, what the impact will be for the next number of years. And will we recover? Or maybe there are things and circumstances going on in your life that every time you just rest for a moment, they overwhelm you and they concern you. And you wonder if there's any respite from it, and they've grabbed your attention from virtually everything or anything else. Maybe there are concerns about Brentwood Park Alliance Church. But will we ever get through this so that everybody returns? Have we lost people along the way? Are there programs there that are gone that we'll never see come back? What about our passion and our vision? Are we going to be able to impact again our community? Whatever it is, all those things become distractions that can keep us from seeing who we're walking this journey with. And that is true for Cleopas and disciple number two. They didn't know. I am trusting and praying that in these moments we will recognize that he's there, that whatever we're going through, however difficult, however tough, however long it takes, that God is involved in the process, that Jesus is there with us. And that we might have eyes that would be open to see that he's involved, that we would intentionally look and seek for the activity of God among us. Don't you want that? Because the reality is, we can walk with Jesus and not even know it. They still didn't know who this was, but now they were left with a question. Would they be content with just sort of a casual passing relationship with this individual, and he would go his way and they would go theirs? Or would they invite him into something more than that? Would these disciples take it to another level? Because here's something else we learned from this story. And that is that Jesus awaits your invitation to engage. Jesus is waiting for your invitation to engage. Do you know that? See, Jesus doesn't force us into anything. He never forces himself upon us. He simply waits until we invite him in. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Tim Horton did not start Tim Horton's Donuts. Did you know that? There's a man by the name of Jim Sherrade, but as Jim Sherrade was putting this whole idea and concept together, he thought, well, nobody knows who Jim Sherrade is, so no one's going to buy Jim Sherrade's Donuts and Coffee, so I need a marquee person. And so he went to then Toronto Maple Leaf player Tim Horton, and he invited Tim Horton to become a part. He said, I'll be the bank, you be the name. Maybe you didn't know this, but they didn't start with donuts. Tim Hortons wasn't big on donuts. It didn't probably fit into his physical regimen. And so they actually, the very first one they opened was coffee and hamburgers and hot dogs. But they finally realized that they needed to change from meat to pastry, and they got it. But here's the reality. If Jim Sherrod had not invited Tim Horton into the process, there would be no Tim Hortons. There'd be no Timbits. There'd be no Double Double. You know, it just wouldn't have happened. But there was an invitation that was extended. And we need to extend that invitation to Jesus to go deeper. These disciples enjoyed the companionship of this person whose identity was unknown to them at the time. But they enjoyed it enough that they desired to continue it. So it says in verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further, but they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over. And so we did. It says Jesus acted like he was going to go on further, waiting for an invitation. Yeah, see, if that were me, if I'd come along to these people and it's the end of the day and I'm kind of tired and so on, I'd probably say, hey, you don't have a cot in your house that I could flop out on, right? Like, I'm kind of tired. And I know that. I know that that's what I would do. I'd invite myself in. I know that. Because there was a time when I flew from Vancouver to Atlanta, Georgia, and I got in with the time change. I got in rather late in the evening, and I rented a car at the airport, and I started to drive from Atlanta to Florence, South Carolina. And I was begged. I was tired, and I just wanted a place to stay. And every time I came to an interchange that advertised that it had more than one hotel, I'd get off, and I'd go around the whole interchange and I check out all the hotels, and you know what? Everyone had no vacancy. Everyone was full. And so I went to the next, and I went to the next. I must have got off at about six or eight different interchanges and went to all the hotels that I could and said, you got a room? No, sorry, don't have a room. No. In fact, it finally got so bad, I got off at this interchange and I went to the inn and he said, no, I'm sorry, we have no room. I said, do you have a stable? I really did. I'm not making this up. I said, do you have a stable? And you got it, but he didn't get it. You know, we'd invite ourselves in this situation. But Jesus said, I'm going to go on a little further. By the way, just to finish that story, the reason everything was full was I didn't realize it, I wasn't thinking, but I had arrived on Valentine's weekend and everything was booked. True. But Jesus waits to be invited. Do you desire a deeper relationship with your Lord? Then the responsibility is yours. The responsibility is mine. It's not his responsibility. Oh, he'll step in when the need is there, when the invitation. But our relationship with him comes from our pursuing him, not his pursuing us. And my pursuit of him is an indication of the depth of my longing to be connected and to know him and to have him in my life, to experience his presence. And as we start this journey together, it's my desire for Brentwood Park Alliance that we would become passionate about knowing him. Because we get to choose whether our experience with Jesus is casual or passionate. And in that choice, we need to make the invitation. We need to extend the invitation. And when we do understand this, that the Christ encounter changes everything. Encountering Christ changes everything. You can live casually connected to Jesus, but ultimately you'll find that it never really satisfies. It never endures. Because deep within all of us, there is a hunger to know God and to be known by God and to love him. These disciples, it says in verse 31, their eyes were finally opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? You see, no sooner did they recognize Jesus than poof, he was gone. And yet, even though in that moment he was gone, everything was changed. Right? Everything was different. I mean, it changed their emotions. They had walked this journey totally depressed because one in whom they had placed all of their hopes seemed gone forever. And now it wasn't so. It changed their passion. They say, didn't our hearts burn? Burn within us when he opened up the scriptures. I mean, their passion changed. There was a reason for living, a purpose for now going on. There was even new direction and new energy that they never had before. I mean, they had just walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus. It's a distance of about 12 kilometers. It would take them about 2.5 hours. And it had been a long, miserable journey in the depressive state in which they had found themselves. And now, they couldn't wait to get back on the road, to run back to Jerusalem and tell the disciples that we saw him. If we develop a deep, passionate relationship with Jesus together, it will change us. It will fundamentally change who I am as an individual, who you are as an individual, but who we are as a community of faith. So we're starting this journey, and along the way, we may share a coffee or two. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to deepen our love and devotion and commitment to Jesus Christ. Because reality is, casual Christians will never change anything. Casual Christians will never change anything. So let's become passionate. Passionate about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, as we start this journey, May we individually, as your people who comprise this local church of Brentwood Park Alliance, may we commit to walking with you, inviting you in a deeper, fuller way, so that our heart and our passion for you radically changes who we are. And so that the Spirit of God can descend and do a work in and among us that at the outset we have no idea as to how radical that will be. But may we commit to doing that for your glory and the glory of your kingdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I hope I didn't offend or break anyone's heart that they didn't get the coffee that they so needed this morning. But the coffee isn't ultimately what I want to share with you. What I want to share is the body and blood of Christ. No. One of the things that amazes me in this story is like, we only know one of the disciples by name, right? Cleopas. And the other one is just the unnamed disciple. And they were not part of the 12. But when Jesus gave thanks for bread and cup, they knew. And I'm thinking, where were they at the Last Supper? How did they know? How was that a memory peg that opened their eyes so they could understand who he was? I am personally solidly in the memorial side of understanding of communion, that this is symbolizes his body, symbolizes his blood. But I don't ever want to diminish what the importance and significance of communion is. Because it is intended to be transformative. It is intended to be empowering. It is intended to be life-changing. And I think when we take the bread and the cup, it should always be a moment of our saying, God, I get to choose whether I'm going to be a casual or a passionate follower. But I will choose. I will choose to be passionate for you. Because you gave everything for me. So, I want to start this journey with you, not with coffee. But with cup. And Jesus said, when he took the bread, he said, this is my body. And understand, what or who is the body of Christ? It was that physical body that he had that was on the cross. But I believe in those words of institution, Jesus said, but the real body of Christ are those who are mine. It's the church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body. And when we take this, we are not just remembering the body of Christ on a cross. We are remembering that we, through him, have become the body. And that's why Paul in 1 Corinthians says, so don't eat and drink without discerning the Lord's body. Don't eat and drink when you are not in fellowship with some member of the body of Christ. When you can sit there with your arms folded and say, I see Joe Blow across the room, but I choose to ignore him. No. We're a body. We're a family on a journey. And we take this together in unity. Father, we thank you. And Jesus did not spare himself, but gave himself for us. So that we might in him, by the working of the Spirit of God, become the body of Christ with him. May we live in the reality of that oneness with he who is God. Amen. And Jesus said, take, eat, my body given for you. The cost of making us one body was his blood shed for us. How can we not be passionate for the one who shed his blood for our redemption? Gave himself for us. Father, again, we thank you for a work of grace that's inexplicable to us. Inexplicable to the angels. The mystery of which is known only by the Godhead. But that by faith we accept. And we know in the taking of this cup that you loved us to the point of death. And we give thanks. Amen. And so Jesus said, this cup is a new covenant of my blood. Drink it in remembrance of me. And now, Father, I pray for this, your body, this local church, Primrose Park Alliance, that we would go from this place renewed in our commitment to be passionate about the one who gave his all for us, committed to walking the journey of the next number of months together in expectation of what you will do. Amen. Go in peace.